Amen. Have you ever looked at the world that we're in and felt like things have never been like this before? We've never experienced it. Things are challenging in so many ways. And how do we get through times like this? We seem to be divided as a country. We seem to be, there's so much bitterness and discouragement out there. And how do we proceed forward as children of God? How do we move in a way that brings light and blessing into a divided world, into a divided country? How do we operate our lives in ways that really bring about change? And today I want us to kind of realize that, you know what? It may feel like we've never been in this situation before. It may feel like things are worse than ever in some areas, and how do we get through this? But I tell you, I got hope, because I look at the passage that we're going to go through today, and looking at a king, King Josiah, and the world that he lived in and what he came into. And so as we look at this, King Josiah, first of all, when he came to reign, he was a young guy. Anybody know how old he was? He was 8 years old. So talk about an unexpected leader in difficult times. He's 8 years old when he becomes king. And it is not a pretty sight that he comes into. It's not a good situation. The reign of King Josiah follows the reigns of Manasseh and Amon, two of the most wicked kings that Judah had of all time. They were just so wicked, and there was such a stench around everything that followed them. And one of the things that we'll see as we come to the beginning of the Word of God is, man, things were so bad that they didn't even know the Word of God. Now, these are God's people, remember. They didn't know God's Word, and they didn't know where God's Word was. It had been lost. Josiah was the great-great-grandson of Hezekiah, one of the godliest kings of Judah. But things had changed. Things had gone very poorly. And Josiah was also the grandson of Manasseh. As I said, one of the most wicked kings of Judah. You might think that after the evil reigns of Manasseh and Amon, that there would be no hope for the nation. And guys, I want us to be encouraged. I want us to have hope for our nation. Because even though there is so much division, we have a God who loves us, who knows us, who's walking with us, and who can break down the barriers that man builds up. And generations will change, won't they? We'll have some generations that follow God, that honor God, and others that won't. And you know what my prayer is? That we break into a new, soon, that we break into a new time where our young people start honoring God again. And we may be thinking, how in the world can this happen? You know what? When things get bad, what happens? There's a brokenness before God. There's a realization of we can't do this on our own. And there's coming to a place before God where we go to our knees and we say, we need your help, God. And as soon as we get there, praise God. Because that's where God steps in. As we humble ourselves, as we repent of our sin, God steps in, sends new leaders, and the blessings start. Verse 1 of our scripture here. Verse 1, Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. And he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and followed the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. In the 8 years of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David. In his 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of high places, Asherah poles, and idols. Guys, he was 8 years old when he started his reign. Can you imagine what that would be like? I mean, some of my very first memories of life are when I'm 8 years old. I don't remember a lot from when I was young. I have just glimpses here and there. I hear that there were some really great things, but I don't have a lot of memory. 8 years old. You're young. Anybody have an 8 year old right now? Hey, 8 years old, man. A few things said here of young Josiah. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He did what was right in the sight of God, not of man. And guys, what a powerful thing to put God's truth over man's truth. To say, you know what, I'm going to follow God, and I'm going to even follow God if there's a cost. And I promise you this, if you choose to follow Jesus, it's going to be tough. There's going to be harder decisions to make if you follow God. If you just live for yourself and keep your head in the clouds and don't think about the... Man. Now you'll end up in places that you never thought you'd end up. But I tell you, when you choose to follow God, it's harder because it means not doing what I want in the moment. And instead, doing what honors God. And in over time, that leads to incredible blessing. Spiritually, emotionally, relationally, physically. But it's hard in the moment because we like to do what we like to do when we want to do it. And it's sometimes kind of difficult to say, you know what? I'm not going to do what I want. I'm going to choose to follow God. I've been inspired by a number of you that as you've come to me in prayer for decisions in your life, you've made huge decisions because you felt like God was saying, you know what? Something needs to change in my life. And so you come and we have time of prayer and encouragement. And some of you have changed jobs because God was speaking to you. And there was a response in obedience. We could learn a lot from that today. In God's sight, yes. In doing what's right in man's sight, no. That's also true when it comes to things like intellectual pressure, trying to fit what our society says is right and good, and political correctness, and trying to do the trying to be woke, right? Trying to be living in a way, and when that honors God, praise God for it. Praise God for that. And there are some things where we need to grow in and where we have to learn, and we have to say real change needs to take place. And we as believers need to stand, be the first to stand for what's right. God is a God of justice. And he asks us to stand in the gap. And there's times in our society, man, where it's saying do this and it's the right thing to do. There are other times when political correctness is coming in and it honors man and not God. And we don't know how to see the difference if we're not involved in the Word of God, because our understanding of what is right and wrong needs to come from the truth of God's Word. And so how do we, with all these different things, and things are constantly changing, and if we aren't solid in the Word of God, we're not going to know how to proceed forward and how to take some truths and live them out, and how to say to other things from our culture and our society, you know, that one, that denies the truth of God's Word. And so here I'm on God's path, and I'm not on that path. We have to know God's Word. Josiah, he walked in the ways of his father David. Remember, David was the standard by which God measured the kings. He was a man after God's own heart. And it says here that he walked in a straight line, not to the right or to the left. Guys, truth is challenging. But truth is often right in the tension of where we get, if we go too far this way, we're in the gutter. We go too far this way, we're in the gutter. And it's that tension of being right in that happy balance of what God is saying. And so it's so important for us to be there and to not get taken in by the things of this world.
said also at age 16, he began to seek the Lord. In his first 8 years,
you know, you can imagine, he's not doing it by himself, right? As king at 8 years old. And so his reign, he probably reigned through a regent or advisor, and a godly one, obviously, because he's getting good counsel. And it was probably the priest, Hilkiah, but the Bible doesn't say, it doesn't make it clear, but that's kind of the best guess that we have. But it's a reminder that because he was getting godly counsel, obviously, he's being drawn into the truths of God. I want to encourage us with this. Parents, this is important for us. We need to have a godly influence in the lives of our children. And we need to be willing to say some hard things to our kids. We need to stand differently than the world stands in the lives of our children. And that's right in everyday life, isn't it? That's right where, and you know what? A situation comes up with our kids, and I want to encourage you guys, have lines of communication open. Really be asking your kids, your teens of all ages, what's going on in school, what they're learning. I mean, some of the things that they're learning, most of it's really good. Some of it's not. And I'll never forget when I was at on Vashon Island, and one of the boys who was a freshman or sophomore in high school, and he came to me in tears, and he said, I guess I think I might be gay. And I said, what do you mean? I know you've been chasing this girl since I've known you. What do you mean? He goes, well, I went to meet with my counselor, and she found out that I was not sexually active, and so I was given all this information on being homosexual and how that's a good thing. Because we need to love all people. Praise God when somebody who's gay comes in here and hears the truth of the Word of God. We need to love people where they're at. Meet them right where they're at as Jesus does. But in that process, we don't say what's right is wrong and what's wrong is right. But we love people with truth in love. And we've got a society that is very active and very aggressive in bringing in all these different ideas that do not go with the Word of God. And we need to be willing to say, you know what? Lovingly, but strong. You know what? What does God's Word say? What does God's Word say? And God's Word is very clear. And there's very few areas, kind of when life started and when it will end, there's a lot of mystery. The gospel, truth, what's right and wrong, the Word of God is clear. And so we need to be willing to go to the Word of God and see what it says. So verses 4 through 13, we see Josiah's difficult reforms. His difficult reforms. Remember, true transformation, it has two sides to it. It has two sides to it. It doesn't mean turning to God. It doesn't just mean turning to God. It means turning from something to God. So there's both the negative side and the positive side. So let's remember that as we go through this. Under his direction, the altars of the Baals were torn down. He cut to pieces the incense altars that were above them and smashed the Asherah poles and the idols. These he broke into pieces and scattered over the graves of those who had sacrificed to them. He burned the bones of the priests on their altars, and he purged Judah and Jerusalem. In the towns of Manasseh, Ephraim, and Simeon, as far as Naphtali, and in the ruins around them, he tore down the altars and the Asherah poles and crushed the idols to powder and cut to pieces all the incense altars throughout Israel. Then he went back to Jerusalem. Guys, think about that. This is a lot of work. See, the Asherah poles were originally something that was supposed to point people to God, but people started worshiping the poles that were supposed to point them to God. And it became idol worship. And from there, other things creeped in. And it says, listen to what he does. He burns things. He brings them to powder. He's willing to do the hard things. He destroys the altars of Baal and its idols. He destroyed the idols so completely that it ground them to dust so they could never be used again. As with our sin, guess what we need to do? We need to be serious about our sin. We need to be willing to do the hard things. And that means, number one, the hardest thing of all, bringing our sin into the open. Bringing it into the light. Finding trusted brothers in the Lord that you can share the journey with, that you can have them praying for you, that you can be open and honest before God and before, man. Remember, we're not supposed to cast our pearls before swine. We're not supposed to share our deepest, darkest secrets with everybody so that it'll be used in all different kinds of ways. But we are to go to trusted brothers, with brothers and sisters, with sisters, and share and have things. No, man, the power of prayer is incredible. And when we have brothers and sisters praying for each other, man, good things happen. God moves. Another thing I noticed is he was extremely thorough. He does everything, and he doesn't stop at just starting to do it. He does it well. He's very thorough. And all the land is being impacted by what he's doing. Verses 6 and 7. He took the Asherah poles from the temple of the Lord to Kidron Valley outside Jerusalem and burned it there. He ground it to powder and scattered the dust over the graves of the common people. He also tore down the quarters of the male shrine prostitutes. This is from 2 Kings, guys. Excuse me. I didn't mention that. This is another area of 2 Kings where it talks about what's taking place. So he's taking down the Asherah poles, and he also tore down the quarters of the male shrine prostitutes that were in the temple of the Lord. The quarters where women did weaving for Asherah. So what it's saying here is he destroyed the houses of the homosexual temple prostitutes. He also did away with child sacrifice. He did away with those who dealt with unclean spirits, it says later in verse 24 of 2 Kings 23. Psychics, astrology, mediums, white witches, he closed the doorway to the occult. Guys, we live in a spiritual battle. There are forces unseen. And I know we like to just deal with the physical world, but the physical world is not all there is. And we know from Ephesians 6:10 that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities of this dark world, against the spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. So our struggle is not with the person, it's with the enemy of God, it's with the spiritual forces that work through people. So we are called to love the person and hate the sin and get involved in the lives of the people. And that means getting involved, that means caring, that means spending time. Are all your friends Christians? Something's wrong. Sorry, it's a reality. We need to be in the lives of people who don't know Jesus. Should you have really strong Christian friends? Absolutely. But you need to, we're called to be in the world, but not of the world. And so we need to get involved in the lives of people who don't know Jesus. And I want to encourage us as a church and as families, as individuals, let's be willing to step out into our communities in love and get involved in people's lives so that when things happen, they have the relationship established so that they can come and get counsel and encouragement and have a friend who will give them godly wisdom. It's really, really important. It goes on to say in verse 8, in the 18th year of Josiah's reign, to purify the land and the temple, he sent Shaphan, son of
Azaliah, excuse me, and Maaseiah to the ruler of the city with Joah, son of Joaz, the recorder, to repair the temple of the Lord his God. They went to Hilkiah, the high priest, and gave him the money that had been brought into the temple of God, which the Levites, who were the gatekeepers, had collected from the people of Manasseh, Ephraim, and the entire remnant of Israel, and from all the people of Judah and Benjamin, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Then they entrusted it to the men appointed to supervise the work on the Lord's temple. These men paid the workers who repaired and restored the temple. They also gave money to the carpenters and builders and purchase dressed stone and timber for joists and beams for the buildings that the king of Judah had allowed to fall into ruin. The kings of Judah, excuse me. The workers labored faithfully over them to direct them were Johath and Obadiah, Levites descended from Merari, and Zechariah and Mushalam, descendants from Kohath. The Levites, all who were skilled in playing musical instruments, had charge of the laborers and supervised all the workers from the job to job. Some of the Levites were secretaries, scribes, and gatekeepers. What is it saying?
Josiah repaired the temple. Why? Because he cares about God. He cares about the things that God cares about. And the temple is something that God cares about. What are temples in our day? What are some examples of temples in our day? Our what? Our bodies. Great example. Our bodies. Man, we need to take care of them. I got to tell you, I'm struggling with this one a little bit. It's hard sometimes, the discipline that's required to take care of the body. Pray for me, I'll pray for you on this. Man, when I was young, I had incredible self-discipline. I'm not so young anymore, and my priorities have changed. And where I used to have a six-pack, now I have a keg. So, Josiah, he repaired the temple. He raised money for the repairs. He did the hard work to get it done. And then he treated the people who did it well and honorably. He paid them well. He was faithful to pay people what they should be paid. Because you know what? He wants to honor God in the process. I remember when we were adopting our children, we could have paid bribes in Uganda. We could have paid bribes to have everything go smoothly. But we wanted God to honor our children and honor our family through their lives. And we felt like if we start with praying bribes, it'll be easy at the beginning. But what is it if we start our family by dishonest means? And so it took a lot longer and it was a lot harder, but praise God, it was worth it. And we started our family honoring God. As we need to take those steps sometimes that are a little bit harder. Verse 14, Josiah's great discovery. Listen to verse 14. What did they discover? Listen to this. While they were bringing out the money that had been taken into the temple of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord that had been given through Moses. They find the word of God. Hilkiah said to Shaphan, the secretary, I have found the book of the law in the temple and the Lord of the Lord. He gave it to Shaphan. Then Shaphan took the book to the king and reported to him, your officials are doing everything that has been committed to them. They have paid out the money that was in the temple of the Lord and have entrusted it to the supervisors and workers. Guys, they're cleaning out the temple. They're rebuilding it. They're fixing it up. And what do they find in the corner? Stuff somewhere? The word of God. The law. They didn't know how to honor God yet. Why didn't they know? They didn't have the word. That's how you honor God without God's word. We have the word of God. And we're called to bring the word of God to people. Why? Because it's life and light and truth. And anything else we bring of ourselves, if it's not part of the gift, isn't it given in the truth of the Word of God, then nothing goes beyond this earth. We can give an eternal gift, an eternal blessing to the people around us. And if we truly care for people, we will take chances. We will go out of our way to love people, to share the truth. It's going to be harder. There's going to be times where we get rejected. There's going to be times. But if we do the truth, if we live it out in love, some will respond. And guys, there is nothing more exciting when you get to be used by God. Man, you get to be used and you're part of the process of bringing somebody that God works through others and through you and through others and through his work through many people. Faith takes place in the life of an individual and a friend or maybe even earlier a foe makes a decision to follow Jesus Christ. They did this when you guys, something that strikes me about this is so often in churches, what's missing in our world today? The Word of God. It's painful to say, and you've heard me say it before, but I will keep saying it because it needs to be known and we need to deal with it. The majority of churches in our area, not everywhere, but in our area, don't use the Word of God regularly. So it's a country club or it's a club, or it's maybe something that's political, or it's maybe this, or it's maybe, but it's not a church if it's not using the Word of God. It's a gathering. Yes, what makes a church? The people. But the people bringing forth the Word of God to each other and building each other up in God's truth. It also makes me ask a few questions. Is there anything in our church, and I think it's something we need to ask all the time, is there anything in our church corporately that we're doing together that we need to relook at? I also want to put this before each one of us individually. Is there anything in our lives personally that we need to take a look at and say, you know what, that doesn't belong there? And guys, I'm not just talking about bad things. Maybe there's idols in our lives of good things. One of the challenges for parents is to make our children an idol. To love them so much that we put our children before our God. And we've got to be so careful there. Not just with bad things, but with good things. We need to be so careful that we're honoring God in the process. And if we put God first, we'll love our children better. And that is the real truth. If we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourself. We can't love our neighbor as ourself if we don't love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So when I love God with all I have, now it gives me the ability to turn that love back to others and give it to other people. Verse 18. Josiah's powerful response. Then Shaphan, the secretary, informed the king, Hilkiah, the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read from it in the presence of the king. When the king heard the words of the law, what's Josiah's response? It says, he tore his robes. He is made so aware of his own sin that he rips his robes and God, forgive me. It's an act of humility before God, of a calling out to God saying, I'm unclean. I'm broken. I need your help. Guys, we are broken without God. And God takes the broken and makes it whole. That's the beauty of it, is we find a new identity, a new wholeness, a real transformation in Christ Jesus. Verse 20, he gave these orders to Hilkiah, Ahikam, son of Shaphan,
Abdon, the son of Micah, Shaphan, the secretary, and Asaiah, the king's attendant, go and inquire of the Lord for me, for the remnant in Israel and Judah, about what is written in this book that has been found. Great is the Lord's anger that is poured out on us, because those who have gone before us have not kept the word of the Lord. They have not acted in accordance with all that is written in this book.
Guys, we need to repent of our sin, not just of our own sin. We as a country have gotten away from God's truth. And believers, the church needs to stand for what is right and repent of our sin and be willing to do the hard things and speak truth in love and get involved and be strong and courageous and not back down, not from the fight, but from sometimes the confrontation where we as Christians have been silent for so long. And guys, things are changing in our country and in our communities because the church has been quiet. I don't believe a lot of things that are being told us by the news, that the majority of people believe that allowing a child to die after birth, like they celebrated in New York and put on the sides of buildings, I don't believe most people in America think that's a good thing. But it's being celebrated. It's being celebrated in our country to allow a child who's been born to die because you neglect it until it dies because it's unwanted. You know what that is to me, according to the Word of God? It's evil, it's murder, it's death. But guys, sometimes the people involved in the process, we don't attack the people. As believers, we don't attack the women, or we don't attack the doctor. We stand for truth and we honor God, but we don't commit sin in how we stand for truth. There's a right way and a wrong way, isn't there? And if we are being evil to others, that's the wrong way. But we're called to stand in a strong way. And so we as believers need to find that balance and that tension of what's right and not veer to the right or to the left. Because that tension, that the pathway of honoring God, it's not an easy road and it's not a wide road. But God help us if we become good at sinning in attacking sin. That's not the answer either. Repentance. He humbled himself and he inquired of the Lord. Verse 22, God's response to Josiah. Hilkiah and those the king had sent with him went to speak to the prophet Huldah, who was the wife of Shallum, son of Tokath, the son of Hatra, keeper of the wardrobe. By the way, if you're wondering how to pronounce these names, just say it like you know it. Just a thought. All right? All right? She lived in Jerusalem in the new quarter. She said to them, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Tell the man who sent you to me, this is what the Lord says. I'm going to bring disaster on this place and its people. All the curses written in the book that has been read in the presence of the king of Judah, because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods and aroused my anger by all their hands have made. My anger will be poured out on the place, on this place, and will not be quenched." You see, we have a God who is just. God's not all, feathers and birds and beautiful things. And there's the wrath of God. There's the justice of God. God doesn't wink at sin. He deals with it directly. We need to be honest with ourselves, first of all. If there's areas of our lives that we're living in disobedience, yes, we can be forgiven. Yes, we are forgiven as children of God. But it doesn't mean the consequences are taken away. The natural consequences of our decisions are going to be there in triplicate. God won't remove the consequences of our sin. He'll forgive our sin. But man, we see over and over people who follow God. Yes, they're forgiven. David was forgiven for murder, for adultery. But the consequences affected his family for years and years and years and years. And God is a God of justice. Tell the king of Judah who sent you to inquire of the Lord. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says concerning the words you heard. Because your heart was responsive and you humbled yourself before God, when you heard what he had spoken against this place and its people, and because you humbled yourself before me and tore your robes and wept in my presence, I've heard you, declares the Lord. God hears us. He hears our response. He's a God of justice. He's also a God of grace and mercy. And when we repent of our sin, there is great blessing. Now I will gather you to your ancestors, and you will be buried in peace. Your eyes will not see all the disaster I'm going to bring on this place and those who live here. So they took her answer back to the king. Mercy and grace. Even in justice, we have a God who is merciful and finds a way to bless those who repent before him. God's response to Josiah. Then the king called together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. He went up to the temple of the Lord and the people of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the Levites, all the people from the least to the greatest. He read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the temple of the Lord. The king stood by his pillar and renewed the covenant in the presence of the Lord to follow the Lord and to keep his commands, statutes, and decrees with all his heart and all his soul, and to obey the words of the covenant written in this book. What does Josiah do? He resolves and makes a covenant. He says, I'm going to stand for God's truth here. No matter what the cost, all we have, the only hope we have is in our God showing us grace and mercy and love and coming and changing us and changing our fate and blessing us and giving us a purpose and not giving us what we deserve. And then the last one, 5b, the people's response to God. Then he and everyone in Jerusalem and Benjamin pledged themselves to it. The people of Jerusalem did this in accordance with the covenant of God to their God, their ancestors. Josiah removed all the detestable idols from all the territory belonging to the Israelites. And he had all who were present in Israel serve the Lord their God as long as he lived. They did not fail to follow the Lord, the God of their ancestors. You do what you can do, right? You do what you can do and trust God with the results. Honor him and know that the heavy lifting, that the real movement isn't done by us. We're called to be faithful and God does the work. God moves the mountains. And God will bless. Now, we might be thinking that Josiah is this unstoppable man of God, and we don't have a lot of time, so I just want to touch on it. In Chronicles 35, it says this: the Passover is symbolic. Josiah celebrated the Passover to the Lord in Jerusalem, and the Passover lamb was slaughtered on the 14th day of the first month. He appointed the priests to their duties and encouraged them in the service of the Lord's temple. What's it saying that he's doing? Man, he's keeping Passover, isn't he? He's honoring God. He's honoring God in what he's doing. And it's a beautiful thing. But we also see something else in this. And that is on the last slide. Can we go one more? Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies... Excuse me, can we go back one? Sorry, there it is. Josiah, however, would not turn away from him, but disguising himself to engage him in battle, he would not listen to what Necho had said. and God's command, but went to fight him on the plain of Megiddo. Archers shot King Josiah and told his officers, "Take me away, I am badly wounded." So they took him out of his chariot and put him in his other chariot and brought him to Jerusalem, where he died. You see, God had spoken to Josiah through the other king. And the other king had said, "Don't do this. Don't. My battle's not against you. Don't do this." And Josiah doesn't listen to God. Josiah is killed in a battle after reigning 31 years. He failed to heed the warning of God and went foolishly into a battle that wasn't his. You see, this man of God who had honored God, who had done right by his people, and here he's king and he's everything's going well. Guys, it doesn't matter our age. It doesn't matter. We've got to have the wisdom of God. Listen to the counsel of the people around you who love God and know God. Listen to the truth of God's word. If people are giving you advice, heed counsel that is godly. Because if you don't, there may be some fun right away, but it's going to end in destruction. And even Josiah, who's this great man of God, who's honored God, he comes to a place in the heat of battle, and he refuses to listen to God. You know what I think had happened? He started believing a little bit of his own press. The most dangerous thing for believers at times is success. Because sometimes we get so full of ourselves and we think, "Look at what I've done. Look at this. I'm pretty incredible at this." And we start taking the... Now, we would never say those words out loud because we don't want to sound, you know, proud and rude. We want to sound humble. "Oh, look at what God did," while thinking in our heads, "Look what I did." A false humility is easy to have at times, isn't it? And we've got to be so careful. If we are saying things with our mouths and hearing different things in our thoughts about ourselves, we need to check ourselves. Also, if we're making decisions for our future, we need to seek counsel from godly people. Share with them all the information that's before us. Give them, and then listen to godly counsel. Seek God's word for truth. Don't make big life decisions without seeking godly counsel. Because Josiah's death came because he had feet of clay, as we all do. We've got to remember we're all our own humanity. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us. So guys, just a reminder. Let's seek God's word first. Let's seek godly counsel. Let's make good decisions. Let's be willing to take a stand where God calls us to stand, even if there's a cost. And I promise you, if you make a stand lovingly, but honoring God, there will be a cost. And it will be harder than just letting things go. But the blessing is so immense that will come from honoring God. And the blessing won't only affect me and you personally, it'll affect those around us, and it will impact the lives of the people, just like the consequences to our sin will impact the people around us. I don't know about you, but I want a lot more blessing than consequence to impact the people around me. I want the wake behind me to bless those who come after me, not be these giant waves that just knock people down and take people out. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask for your understanding here. Lord, we ask that we would seek you, that we would hear you move. Lord, we pray Romans 12, 1 and 2. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God." God, we want to be living sacrifices for you. We want to be holy and pleasing to you, Lord. We want to live in a way that honors you. We want
We want transformation to take place in our lives. We want sin to be dealt with. We want to dedicate our lives to God, to you. Father, forgive us for our sin. Forgive us for allowing the enemy to have a heyday with us at times and just take us out of the fight, out of the battle. Lord, we want to get back in, and that means we've got to find God's word wherever it's hidden. And we need to bring it into our lives and live it out in a way that honors you and blesses us and those around us. Lord, we pray for this transformation that involves the word of God in our lives. Lord, show us how to do that for your glory. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.